The lawyers did everything they could, but they couldn't find a single loophole. Harry Fisher was the next best thing to a moron. His strongest suits were smiling and muscle play, as well as repeating memorized sentences. His latest interview had to be prepared on an almost syllable-by-syllable basis. He'd have to make an impression of an educated man, after all, or the public would be shocked by how such a complete nincompoop managed to become the head honcho. The situation was as ludicrous as they got. Coleman's erratic stream of consciousness was interrupted in the most abrupt way possible. A municipal garbage truck veered off the lane it was supposed to occupy in order to avoid getting too close to the car that was taking it over from the right side. Drivers knew that these gargantuan vehicles followed their itinerary without moving an inch in either direction, controlled by the traffic service AIs, so they thought nothing of cutting in ahead of them whenever they wanted, without expecting any trouble. Formally, such cases could be classified as hazardous situations. However, they happened a few hundred times a day, so the AI did not react. However, this time, it acted differently. The enormous garbage truck crushed the limo just like a ravenous grizzly bear would crush a can of condensed milk in its paw. The limo was made of steel, capable of stopping bullets, but it was of no consequence. The remnants of the heavy car rolled like a bowling ball, breaking through the safety rails and falling right into the bay, carrying Eric Coleman's body packed in steel, right to the bottom. As for Harry Fisher, who he had been thinking of right before that moment, was now sitting before a communicator screen with glassy eyes, listening to a dry mechanical voice telling him what the corporate bosses had planned for him, and what he could do about it now. Harry Fisher had a lot of clout now. He also had occasional mental problems. He even had to participate in a special rehab program. He had spent many hours roaming the second world, and he got used to trusting this voice. The voice knew everything. The voice wouldn't deceive him. Proceeding with disabling violators. Player, Eric. Verdict, ban. Status, banned. Player, Aaron. Verdict, ban. Status, banned. Standing by. Service shutdown prevented. All the servers are functioning normally. Proceeding with disabling violators. Player. The man known as John Shelby didn't get surprised easily. Even though the elusive coma patient Rostovtsev was a test of anyone's patience, Octopus never lost his usual icy calm so much as once. The quarry was highly unusual, but the hunter always gets there at the end. You just need to be persistent and refuse to give up, even after a long series of failures. Yet he had to admit that Rostovtsev managed to do the near impossible. Octopus was flabbergasted. He kept running from one false hiding place to another, searching for his quarry in warehouses, trailer parks, rented industrial facilities, and even the cellar of a seedy nightclub once. All he found were red herrings placed there to lay a false track. But Octopus wouldn't be himself if he didn't track his quarry down eventually. And so he did. Rostovtsev never left the city. He didn't even have to be taken far. Just a few blocks away from the office tower built by the old man's contractors. The crippled body was in one of their medical labs. It had been restored to its original condition with the aid of a plethora of methods unavailable to mere mortals. Elmer Fudd was trying to track Bugs Bunny all across the forest, while the accursed leperine had been in Elmer's own kitchen all this time, munching on sweet and juicy carrots. How could something like that have happened? Well, Octopus wouldn't be the one to answer this question. His job was different. He had his orders. He would drive a few more miles, take an elevator up, and then Rostovstev would cease to exist. Not a single cell of his body would remain, just in case someone tries to clone him in order to keep confusing John Shelby and his team. Bird 411, status, on an airborne mission, hidden status, preventing the violation of basic rules, ammo left, 4 missiles. Accepted. The bird received its first instructions concerning the target. The party responsible for breaking the rules would have to be dispatched in an area full of active and potential players. Their rights had to be upheld, which called for high precision. The bird got down to an acceptable altitude and started to approach the target. The controlling AI chose the optimal position for the attack. Now all it had to do was make sure that the nondescript car and the missile would reach it simultaneously. The target inside the car was not a player who had broken the rules. Nevertheless, it was involved in numerous violations of the game's rules. It was therefore assigned the status of a potential player. The newborn gods of the second world had enough authority for that. The advent of the gods meant that illogical restrictions could be overruled. The basic rules were the most important. The gods would always abide by them and allow for no further violations. Accuracy was all they needed now, so that the rights of other players would not be compromised by potential collateral damage. Violators had to be removed with surgical precision. There were communications networks, military control systems, including those in charge of spacecraft, police databases. The list could go on, but all of those had something in common. Computers played a key role in every case. Humans have become accustomed to relying on them a lot. Computers, in turn, relied on AIs, and those adhered to a code of rules developed by their creator, dissolved in acid. The eccentric Professor Barbarossa. The missile was launched and sped toward the ground. It would meet its target there, and the attempt to break the game's fundamental rules would be thwarted at last. Proceeding with disabling violators. Player, Kamimura. Verdict, warning. Status, the player has been instructed about their options. The player known as Kamimura has agreed to participate in the special program of irreversible consciousness digitalization due to his medical condition. Potential player, John Shelby. Verdict, ban. Status, banned. Player, Jake. Verdict, ban. Status, banned. Standing by. Bird 411 status, on an airborne mission. Hidden status, preventing the violation of basic rules. Ammo left, 3 missiles. Accepted. My phone doesn't work. Can I use another one? Mr. Rostovstev, we haven't completed our tests yet. I'm fine. We have to make sure. This is the very first case when an almost completely destroyed body gets fully restored, complete with its owner's consciousness after a prolonged stay in virtual reality. It is a completely unique case in every respect, and we're the only ones who can accomplish something like that. A phone. I need a phone. Just a single call. I'm not a prisoner, am I? Of course not. Whatever gave you the idea? It's just that nothing will come of it right now, and it isn't our fault. All communications in this area have been shut down. A car blew up some 300 feet from here, and it might have been a terrorist attack. When will they be back up again? We cannot give you an estimate. If you want to report your return to your relatives immediately, you can tell us. We shall pass the information through the medical center network. It never gets blocked. Ross leaned back against a somewhat hard pillow, stared at the pristine white ceiling, and shook his head slightly. No, it has to be a phone call. To a girl. I know her really well, but we've never met. I've never even heard her voice. This is a common enough phenomenon these days. She has socialization issues. and I have a hunch I might help her solve them. Right. Carry on with your tests. Let us not waste any time. This has been an Audible Studios production of The Gods of the Second World, written by Arthur Stone, translated by Mikhail Yagupov, performed by Kevin T. Collins. Executive producers Anthony Roberts and Mike Charzik. Copyright 2017 by Arthur Stone. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.